Hello, and welcome to this episode of The Sideline. I'm your host, Addison Ouellette.
I'm your co-host, Morgan Mance.
And it's a great week if you're a CFL fan. We're doing our Week 10 CFL preview. It's kind of a weird week. We don't have a Thursday night game. But before we get into it, quick little housekeeping. Like always, follow myself at Twitter, at @A_Ouellette31.
Or for me, at MorganMance1.
And also our Sideline account, @the_sideline. And make sure you follow us on Twitter, follow us on Blog Talk Radio, and follow us on YouTube, where we're that's our main posts are going to is YouTube and Blog Talk Radio. So let's kick the episode off. CFL Week 10. And it's a weird one. We don't have a Thursday night game. I don't like that, to be completely honest.
No, neither do I. I'd rather have a Thursday night game than a Sunday night game.
And Friday night, it's 6:30 p.m. at Winnipeg, and it's Ottawa against Winnipeg. And
both coming off weeks that they had tight games in the last weeks, like Alouettes and Red Blacks last week, 24-17, and Bombers 29-23 to the Ticats.
Do you want to start off with Ottawa?
Still, just like every week I say it, Trevor Harris, he's not there.
I knew you were going to say this. This is why I wanted to start with Ottawa. Trevor Harris's stats against the Alouettes last week. 44 out of 54 attempts, 487 yards, a touchdown, but the Ottawa team did struggle with turnovers. 487 yards.
Yeah, but when you see a 487 yard game,
you're expecting touchdowns.
One touchdown?
It's a tough season for Ottawa. I don't know if they're what's going on here. They're not consistent, in my opinion. Like, you almost lost to, you could argue, the worst team in the CFL. Talent-wise, sorry, Alouettes, you don't have the talent.
Right now, Montreal's the worst team in the league with a 1-7 record. But, like, you know, I bash Ottawa pretty much every week, because I don't like Trevor Harris, but, like, they're first in the East with a 5-3 record. But, like,
their play hasn't been that, to be completely honest.
No, but, like, man, East is so easy. 5-3 in the East is first place. 5-3 in the West is third.
Yeah.
Like, it's so easy for East teams just to make it into the playoffs, and that's garbage. They got to switch it up. Like, one of these West powerhouse teams got to switch over to the East.
I think that'd have to be Winnipeg. I don't know how they are categorized as a West team. That's my biggest issue. But Ottawa, it's honestly confusing for me, to be completely honest. It's turnovers, yeah, that happened. And that just shows that mentally, I don't think this team is a good team mentally. And I think that has to come down on the coach.
Plus, they allowed 17 points for Montreal. And this week they're playing Winnipeg. Are they going to be able to control Andrew Harris to only 17 points?
Yeah, you got to remember, there was a time that Montreal was winning the game.
Oh, yeah. Montreal, right till pretty much the end, Montreal was leading. And then
Trevor Harris, who's led 12 comebacks, which you got to give props to him, winning the game.
Yeah.
I don't know, because this team is good. It honestly is. It's just
they're inconsistent.
Yeah.
It seems like one week, like this week, yeah, it looks like Trevor Harris had a really good week. 487 yards. What do you say, 45 for 55?
Yep.
Like, that's like 80%. But then, like...
You're going against Montreal.
Montreal. So, say, it's like this week, against a Blue Bombers defense, with Adam Big Hill, could you see him doing... repeating those same stats?
No. Winnipeg is... they're a good team. You gotta admit. Looking at Winnipeg now...
Matt Nichols is back. Looking really good.
They played the Tiger Cats last week.
Yeah. Which, they squeaked one out on that. 29-23.
Ooh, Matt Nichols was 13 for 24. 180 yards. 2 touchdowns. Harris was 16 carries for 82 yards and a touchdown. But he also led the team with 4 catches and 46 yards. That's...
He's a versatile back, man. He's...
But that's definitely...
This far into the season, I could see him or Mike Riley winning MVP, or most outstanding players. Sorry.
Yeah, and then I definitely think Harris has the chance to be... I don't know if it's the first time, but the first... time I've witnessed a most valuable player and most valuable Canadian, him winning both awards.
I could see it, yeah. Like, there's, for Canadians, like, really, who's better than Andrew Harris?
Yeah. I definitely, looking at this game, it's, I think Winnipeg is sold on the live. They're going to live by the sword and die by the sword, which what I mean is they're going to live on Andrew Harris's success. And if he's not having success, they are prepared to lose because of that.
Yeah, I can agree with that. They lean on Harris hard. Like you said, 16 carries for 82 yards and a TD, but he also led their receiving corps.
Yep.
Like, I don't, that's good for Harris, but like, that's almost embarrassing to the Winnipeg receiving corps. Like, I don't know if it's Nichols, like, he only had 16 passes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if that means...
that was just their style of game they were going to.
Yeah, but I don't know if that means, like, he doesn't target their receivers very much.
Or was that just the game plan?
Or was it just the game plan to get the ball in Harris's hand and let him do his thing?
Yeah. But looking at this... game, Winnipeg right now, how they've been playing, they're winning, and that defense is getting hot, and I just don't know if Ottawa's going to be consistent. That's honestly, you could, for the rest of the like year for CFL, if Ottawa doesn't pick up, it could be Ottawa could lose this game. Ottawa could maybe win. It's honestly a toss-up.
And, like, also, like, for the Blue Bombers, it is playing an East team, but it's, like, it's a big game because they're right now they're tied for second with the Eskimos in a 5-3 record.
Yeah.
The Eskimos have been pretty inconsistent lately. They lost to the Argos last week.
Did they?
Oh, no, Lions, sorry.
Okay.
They lost to the Lions. So, who knows? Manziel, he's getting better and better. So, who knows? What if he comes out and has a fire game?
Which we will talk
about. Oh, yeah, of course. But, like...
I've got some hot takes.
Winnipeg has got... like, they if this could be a big game. If Eskimos lose on Saturday and they win, that's lost them into second. But, for my prediction of what will happen for this game... I see Winnipeg winning.
Yep.
I'm thinking Andrew Harris, with the way that Ottawa played last week and letting Montreal score 17 points on them, I think Winnipeg's obviously a better team than Montreal. So I could see Winnipeg doubling Montreal's score, 30 points, 34 points, in that range. Ottawa, they're not going to back down. I could see them definitely having 24, 21, yeah. somewhere around there.
But just matters consistently if they're showing up.
Oh, yeah. If Trevor Harris can duplicate what he did last week.
With more touchdowns, less turnovers.
Yeah, take off a couple turnovers and throw a couple touchdowns. That could be a game deciding too. So it's tough almost to say if Harris cleans up his turnovers and scores more touchdowns, like with the same product of 487 yards,
yeah,
80%. Like they could win that game.
But I don't think Harris is going to have another game like that.
Nah, I can't see it either.
Want to get to our doubleheader on Saturday?
Sure.
So our 2 o'clock game, our first game, we're going to start off. We've got Toronto and BC at Toronto. Toronto was on the bye week. BC just came off a win playing Edmonton.
That's a big win for BC. And Toronto, they're terrible this year.
I'm going to do a very hot take. I am a Rider fan, and I'm going to say this. Riders aren't going to make the playoffs possibly due to what BC's doing now.
Well, if BC's going to have to cross over into the East.
But still, like, BC at the moment is way better off than Saskatchewan.
Oh, yeah. And BC, if they do happen to cross over into the East, they're definitely better than Ottawa, Hamilton.
Ooh, Hamilton.
They have the same record. They're both 3-5.
Just the potential with Hamilton's what and scares me.
Lule, he's having a great season. Coming off the bench, everybody kind of thought...
He's definitely a different quarterback.
Oh, yeah, everybody thought his career was pretty much over. Time to get rid of him. It's all about Jennings now, but like... When Jennings had his rough patch, Lule stepped in and he said like...
Brought the team to play.
Oh, yeah. He's still got some time in the CFL. But all comes down for him is injury.
Yep.
If he can stay healthy, though, like he came off a win against the Eskimos, who are supposed to be a powerhouse team in the West. But, like, not only just Lule giving him credit, like, I give him full credit. I like the Eskimos.
But the defense. BC's defense.
Edmonton scored 21 points in the first half. BC's defense held them to 3 points and they scored it in the fourth quarter.
I'm definitely impressed because, what's his name? He's a linebacker.
Solomon Hill?
Yeah, he's actually out at the moment, but they're still playing well. Like, yeah, he's a little bit older, but he's one of the best CFL players. He's definitely a huge role for BC. And the fact that they're almost playing as if it's definitely they're missing him, but they're not playing as if it's a huge miss.
No. And like the way how they're playing this year, if they had him, plus they somehow got Adam Big Hill back after he came back from the NFL, instead of signing in Winnipeg, coming back to BC, imagine what their defense would have been like this year.
True. But I don't know why, but I'm quite high on this BC team. But Toronto came off a huge win against the Ottawa 2 weeks ago because they were on the bye.
Yeah.
Came back to win 42. Yeah, it was 42-41. That's
huge.
That's huge.
That just comes to show you, though, on Harris's... Like, his productivity. Losing to Toronto. Then 487 yards the next game.
Yeah.
Inconsistent, but...
But, like...
Toronto, yeah. Their quarterback, that Bethel Thomas.
I was quite surprised how well he did. He started off shaky, but he definitely... It definitely shows that maybe Franklin isn't quite ready.
I could agree with that. But, yeah... And who knows? The season's getting to the end. Maybe this Bethel Thomas, he turns this team around. Maybe Wilder Jr.'s just like, okay, yeah, we got to get going here. And he comes out and has another great year. has another sec, like,
because they still have a potential chance to get the other seed in the East, because right now Hamilton's 3-5, Toronto's 2-5, but they played one less game, so there is actually still a chance,
unless BC crosses over.
No. If Hamilton doesn't get the winning record and Toronto beats Hamilton out.
True.
Like, that's one game.
Yeah, because they played one less game.
And if Bethel Thompson's actually...
if he's actually legit, not just a one-game fluke.
Or even at least a game manager, which I kind of think what Nichols is kind of... maybe Lule, but Lule can kind of take control of the game.
Yep.
But they've actually got potential.
Yep. It's tough for this one, too. For score-wise, I'm not... because, like you said, Bethel Thomas coming off a big week on a big comeback and having a bye week.
Yep.
So they'll be extra prepared for BC.
But BC's riding a hot hand.
But BC has been on a hot streak. Their defense is playing really good. Lule's playing excellent.
Even though they've lost the games, they've played well, but I'd
they've,
say.
They've
always had the chance.
Yeah, they've always had the chance. And, like, the first game, you know, Lule comes in. Lule, if you look at Lule and Jennings' style, they play two different styles of ball. So, offense adapting. Getting better. Like, they're just getting hot. They're smoking up. But for score-wise, just in not my gut feeling, just going with, like, not sure about the Bethel Thompson. He may have been just a one-hit wonder. Who knows? I don't know yet. But I got to go with the vet, Travis Lule. If I'm a betting man.
That's another thing I've been kind of... when you were talking, I'm like, BC's a hot hand. But Toronto came off a huge win and a bye. And their head coach... I'm blanking on... Trussman?
Yep.
He's proven that bye weeks, he knows how to use them correctly. But Lions,
I don't think you can bet against the Lions on this one.
You know, when we first started, we were kind of iffy about the Lions being a playoff team. Because at the start, they did lose some key players. We didn't know Lule's health. Jennings was playing questionable ball. But at this moment, they're heating up. And it's just, how long can they ride this heat?
Yeah. But I think this week, BC's got win. Like...
yep. I think it's going to be close, though. I really do.
Like a 24-21 game, like a field goal. Maybe 4 points, maybe a field goal save, or maybe two field.
I'm definitely going to say it's going to be like the Tiger Cat Blue Bombers game, I think, from last week, when it's 29-23. I think it's going to be close like that.
I'm saying within a touchdown. Yeah. Either like the 8 points, 7 points, 6-5-4-3-2-1. Within that range. It's not going to be a 2-3 touchdown win. It's going to be within a touchdown.
And I'd say that's it. And you're thinking later game now?
Yeah, the Eskimos and Owlets.
At 7.
Yep.
In Edmonton. And I want to start with the Owlets because they have potential, the best odds, to sign Daron Carter.
I have mixed feelings about Daron Carter. Like, adding another weapon like him for Johnny's arsenal, great. But what I see bad about that is look at what Daron's going through right now. He's going through his weed possession charge, and he got away with his cocaine possession charge.
He had cocaine?
Yeah, in Winnipeg. He tried to smuggle cocaine back. So, two narcotic charges, and that was Johnny Manziel's big thing when he was in university.
Yeah,
he was drugs. Well, so... you know, Johnny, yeah, he changed. You can definitely tell he changed. The way he handles media, the way he plays on the field. But old demons, man, they could creep up on him.
That's my biggest issue. Is you look at Daron Carter, the player, and you're like, the guy's got talent. He's 27, he's got talent, he can still play. But then you look at Daron Carter, the character.
And yeah, that's not even just like the drugs thing. Like, the Daron Carter character could rub off onto Manziel, and his old self could turn back into the unprofessional way you handle the media, Manziel.
Or do you possibly see that new Manziel kind of, hey, you know what, Carter, smarten up. We both have been given another chance. We can't waste this, man. Could that possibly happen? I don't know, because when the Ryder signed Carter, it wasn't if they get tired of him, it was when are they going to get tired of him. And that showed. That's why he was cut.
Yeah.
And here's something, quick kind of snippet that I was mad about, is I was listening to a report, and the reporter was like, the reason why Carter was on defense and played defense was because it was easier to coach him on defense. So you're willing to hurt your team offensively and defensively just because you think it's easier to coach this guy, but he doesn't have the talent to play defense? That was just sent up for failure. That's a quick hot take. I was quite mad when I heard that. But another quick kind of, I just want to throw this out because I'm actually sold. I was thinking, listen to an interview with Johnny Manziel after the Ottawa game. During the Ottawa game, I swear, he was knocked out.
When he got hit in the head?
Yeah.
On the goal line?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you watch the video, his body just goes limp, and you're like, he's knocked out.
So, with that being said, are you thinking that...
He missed today's practice, by the way.
Are you thinking he's concussed?
No. He probably is, but...
Or is he pulling a Zach Collaros? I'm hurt, but I'm not telling anybody because it's my time to play and I want to play.
Could possibly be, and could just be like, hey, let's just sit out today and see how you're feeling the next day. If it's still, well, we'll call it, but if you're feeling better, we're taking your word. Because concussions is, you can only take the player's word.
Yeah.
But a quick take that I was thinking about, if I was to pick a CFL quarterback to build my franchise around, after listening to Johnny Manziel's interview, I'm sold on, if I were to pick the quarterback, I'm picking Johnny Manziel. Not only because of the potential, it's just what I saw with his character. I was quite impressed from seeing how he was in Cleveland to seeing how he was during that interview.
And definitely he's changed, because like from when he played his first game, he came out and was like, yeah, I sucked. I get it, and it's my fault. And like, old Manziel would have definitely not been like, yeah, it was me. He would have blamed it on somebody else. But then his character has obviously changed, because his teammates came out right away and said, hey, it's not just his fault. It's us too. We need to play better for him.
Yeah.
So his character is definitely improved, and that's making Johnny Manziel a stronger and better quarterback.
And he, like, during the interview, he was like, yeah, I want to play in the CFL. And I was like, that's great to hear. This is great for Montreal. But...
Well, it's awesome for Montreal because he's only got a 2-year contract. And if he was just like, I'm 2 and out and I'm going back to the NFL, well, then Montreal kind of feels like a dummy for trading away all these picks. But if he's saying, I'm committed to the CFL, run with him. Get him weapons.
I really hope since his playing time, he's kind of realized that, you know what? Maybe my game is built for the CFL, because he is, when you see him play, he's more of a CFL quarterback than he is an NFL quarterback. But no, let's kind of focus on this game. Alouettes, I don't know what they're going to do. I think the big question this week is, are they going to add talent with Daron Carter?
How Daron Carter carries himself, he's gonna make this whole I'm a free agent thing a big drama production. Like,
yeah.
Maybe I'm gonna play here. Maybe I'll play here. Maybe I won't play at all. He won't be an Alouette this week. He may never be an Alouette, but I think the best odds for him are Montreal, returning to Montreal.
Yep.
And,
but if, I think if they bring in Daron Carter, that helps the Alouettes' odds to possibly win, because looking back at that Red Black team, talent wise, yeah, you got Edmonton has Mike Riley, but you look at wide receivers and compare Ottawa to Edmonton, running backs, and then defensive units, Ottawa's probably got the better defensive unit than Edmonton.
Yeah,
it's just, and you kind of think,
who knows with Edmonton too, because coming off a loss like that
to BC,
yeah, that could be a confidence burner. And I Edmonton's tough this year. They're like Ottawa. They have a good game, then they have a bad game. Then they have a good game that they came back in the fourth corner, which made it exciting. Then they had a bad game. Like 2-2 to start the season. Then they lose another one. Then they lose a couple. I mean, win a couple in a row.
Yeah, they're 5-3 right now.
Yeah,
you know,
it's tough. I don't think they're going to lose to the worst team in the league by any means. But
could you say the Alouettes may have a fighting chance?
Depends on Manziel's condition. If he's concussed, then they have to go back to Vernon Adams
Jr. If he's back.
If he's back. And then their third string, I think, is
Drew Willie.
Yeah, and they're toast with him in. And Manziel,
he definitely improved.
Oh, yeah. But I think that he still needs more playing time in the CFL. Oh, yeah. He's going to be coming out and beating a team like Edmonton or Calgary, for example.
But you've got to say, week one of Manziel's career was bad.
Oh, yeah.
Week two for Manziel, they got Ottawa's turning over the ball, but they were taking advantage, and it was close. And coming off that confidence boost, like we said, after that embarrassment, they came out hungrier, had a chance to win. I kind of think Ottawa may be gaining confidence, and they could beat Edmonton. I don't think they will, but I also see a chance.
Manziel improving, like you said, every week. Maybe this is his week. If he comes out and beats a team like Edmonton, I think people will take him more seriously as this guy's here. He's born and bred to play in the CFL. He understands the game now. If he can take a team like Montreal and turn them around and beat a team like that, the future for Johnny Manziel is a good one. But with that being said, I'm still going with the Eskimos for 28-17,
28-14. Yeah, I think Edmonton's going to win this truly, but I don't count out Montreal. Just like how last week I said don't count out Montreal, because Ottawa has been playing iffy ball lately.
Yeah.
And you kind of seen the same with Edmonton, but I don't think it's as bad. But like you said, Edmonton wins that one. And on to our Sunday game.
Yep.
We've got Sunday, 5 p.m. in Regina, Rough Riders, Stampeders. Where would you like to address first? Stampeders?
Yeah. They haven't lost a game yet this season. Playing against the Riders, who just released, you know, he wasn't the best receiver on their team this year by any means.
They were also on the bye, correctly? Correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So, coming off a bye week, being, you know, haven't lost a game yet.
Played the Riders well.
Well, not really. That game, they scored like 21 points in the first quarter and then struggled the rest of the game. The Riders' defense is not a slouch. They've got a good defense.
They added a defensive back from Ottawa who was I think he came from Edmonton. He was like a really good defensive back. Ottawa had him playing corner, but he's more of a safety. But that could help. But Calgary.
Calgary's a tough team to bet against this year.
That defense.
They haven't lost a step since last year. They lost a couple key guys, but they filled the positions. They don't look any different.
That, my big thing, the battle is going to be, if the Riders want to win, I'm going to be completely honest, it's defense versus offense. The Riders' offense versus Calgary's defense. And you could go both ways for Riders' defense, Calgary's offense. I just think Calgary's offense has the better chance to explode on the Riders' offense. Defense, I mean, just due to what they've got there. And their Riders' defense is a good unit, but Stampeder's defense is great. And the Riders' offense is nowhere near to Calgary's level at the moment. They have the potential, I think.
But yeah. But Calgary's just... Calgary's Calgary. I don't like talking about Calgary because there's... What do you talk about when you talk about Calgary? Because they're...
7-0, right?
7-0.
No, there's no, really, they're probably more. They're like 8.
There's nothing to...
No, 7-0.
Nothing to judge them on, really. Yeah, they're 7-0 because they've had 2 bye weeks already.
Okay. But yeah, they're a perfect team. What are they struggling with?
What? I don't know what you could say what they're struggling with.
I don't even know. I haven't heard much for injuries. I don't think they're too banged up. We could be wrong.
Yeah, but I want to. Yeah, Calgary's tough. Yeah, but like switching over to the Riders, I really hope that with getting rid of Daron Carter. Wasn't, and they're saying it wasn't, but who knows?
I don't hope want to talk about it.
It wasn't to do to talk about with it. Terrell Owens.
No.
If they got rid of Daron Carter to free up Terrell, to get Terrell Owens here, oh God, Chris Jones.
You know, I don't like Chris Jones. I sometimes think he makes questionable moves. He's a good defensive coach, but I don't really like the guy.
You wouldn't be the first guy to say that either.
My big issue is, for this Daron Carter cut, we were talking about this earlier. I felt at times Daron Carter was Batman and Rosenvolt was Robin. Okay, you cut Daron Carter. Does this make Rosenvolt Batman? Number one wide receiver? Who becomes Robin then? Like, is it going to be a number one, number two kind of thing? Or is it going to be just Rosenvolt, or is this going to be a unit that's successful?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But
I'm just rattled. I want to know the clear cut reason, not the Chris Jones reason of saying we wanted to go a different direction than Daron Carter when Daron Carter was the one of the best receivers last year in the league, but we wanted to go a different direction with him.
I'll tell you right now, like I said, it wasn't if they had enough, it was when they had enough. They definitely did.
I'm like, when I was texting you the other day there, when I heard on the radio there that Daron Carter came out and questioned Chris Jones's like authority. Like, do you even control this team? Or like,
and right there you just showed.
Yeah, and it's just, like I said to you, it's just like a, you can't do that to the coach. It's just like a Malcolm Butler and
Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick situation. Malcolm Butler was probably your best choice as corner. He obviously said something or did something to Bill Belichick, and he just said, see you next year, kid. You'll be playing somewhere else.
Here's my kind of quick bit is, I definitely think Bill Belichick knows what he's doing. Chris Jones sometimes makes me not too sure. He's probably has a plan, but
it almost looks like Chris Jones's plan is to like bring Americans.
Yep.
All of them here. Like every last one of them. Every time he goes out and finds a good receiver, goes out and tries to even like Terrell Owens, 44. a couple of years ago, he signed that quarterback there.
Last year it was...
last year, Trent Richardson.
And Young.
Yeah.
Vince Young.
All American. Old Americans. Well, Trent Richardson isn't old, but... Americans that played in the NFL. You know, one that's looking not bad, Trey Mason.
He's
looking like a CFL running back.
My big issue with the Riders is I honestly want to know what our Canadian talent is looking like. To be completely honest. I know we have a wide receiver. We have Zach Evans, who's a defensive lineman. We have a safety. We have O-linemen. But I'm kind of worried about just Canadian talent on this team.
Especially being a Saskatchewan team, not having very many Canadians. Yeah.
And another thing, this just looking at the Riders, they could possibly miss the playoffs. I hate to say it, but they could.
Yep, I could see it.
They need to come out in this Stampeders game, and offensively, they got find something. If they find a groove offensively against the Stampeders, I'm now saying the Riders have a chance.
I would actually, just thinking about it now, with the release of Duran, I want to see if the Riders almost gain motivation or gain confidence, or like with a character issue like Duran out and taking that negativity out of your dressing room and him whining about he doesn't get the ball enough and this and that, taking that negativity out of the dressing room, does that give the Riders a boost? Or is it just like, whatever, another guy gone, we still have a lot of issues that we have to cover? Or does it, because like if Riders come out and they smoke Stampeders, then you almost want to look back and think, maybe Duran Carter was like a bad issue. Like maybe he wasn't worth what everybody thought he was.
But I definitely feel like offensively, the blame for the Riders has to go on McAdoo. If they don't pick up the pace, it honestly comes down to McAdoo's either system, play calling, because this is a talented team.
I think if they don't make the playoffs this year, McAdoo loses his job.
Chris Schoen probably goes away. He's got a 1-year deal, I believe.
Chris Jones is... That's tough, though, for the Riders, because Chris Jones is your coach, your president, and your GM. That means, and if you're firing McAdoo, you're basically getting... You may as well fire your defensive coordinator, too. Because you're overhauling. You're getting 4 new guys in. Unless you want to downsize Jones just to a head coach, or just to the GM, or just to the... Or maybe you say to Jones, hey, we're going a different route, but we want to keep you as our defensive coordinator.
Oh, I'd love that. I'd absolutely love that.
I can't see him saying yes, but... Maybe he does. I don't know. Maybe he just likes the team and he wants to stay here.
But let's kind of get to predicting this game. Riders, offensively, they've got to
prove
themselves.
Like you said, if the Riders get going and the Riders don't have a slouch of a defense, it's going to be a... Very well, the Riders could win. I could see it. The Riders could lose. I could see that. It's tough. This has been a tough week for me for matchups.
Because it could go either or, yeah, honestly.
Just like some teams are hot, some teams aren't. Some teams are really good.
You look at their roster and you're like, yeah, they have the potential to win, but they haven't been performing.
No. I just want to see if the Riders, they just...
Find something.
Yeah. And... Don't sign Charlie Owens.
I don't. I hope.
He's 44. He just went into the Hall of Fame.
He's been out of the game.
He's been out of the game for a while. He just needs to...
It wouldn't make sense.
No.
You gotta think, if you had issues with Carter's character, Terrell Owens is also a character. And how is he going to feel about sitting on the bench, practice roster, for a month? Because he's got to first get into game shape, learn the playbook. He's going. That's going to take a month.
That's and not a smart move. You're definitely not going to see the Terrell Owens you did in the NFL either.
No.
He's old, lost a step. Chris Jones can say all he wants that Trials looked in game shape ready, but like...
I think that was just him being a nice guy, saying, yeah, I'll come check you out. But, Calgary, you're saying this one?
Yep. Close one, though.
Calgary. 7-0. They're not 7-0 because of luck.
No, they're 7-0 because they got talent.
But, you thinking that's... End of the podcast.
I'm wrapped up for this week.
I kind of short week again, 4 games. I think there's a potentially a lot of either or. Either team can win. You could possibly tune in to all the games and end up enjoying them. But yeah, I'm thinking we're going to slow her down, call her quits. But do we want to tease our next show, well, not next show, but next episode of a series we've started?
Yep.
If you've stayed this long, we've decided, you know what, let's go into this graphic novel discussion. And we've picked out one. It is called Batman A Long Halloween.
Yep.
That's all we're going to give you guys. Hopefully, maybe this week, maybe end of the week, we come out. But if you enjoy any ideas, we personally, we're NBA fans, we're football fans, video game fans, and comic book fans. Well, I think you're slowly getting into it.
Any one of those topics, if you want us to cover anything on that, tweet us, comment on any of our videos. Like, we're open for anything.
Yep.
Anything you guys want to hear, we'll talk about it.
So, I'm thinking it. Let's call her an end. Tweet myself at @A_Olette31.
Or @MorganMats1.
And check out our sideline @The_sideline to get updates for when new episodes come out. And like always, thank you for listening. And we'll see you next time.
See ya.